church.
You know, there was a service, actually, I think there's two messages so far that Pastor Mike has out there entitled No Need, I think it is, right, that you call them. So, you know, and it's an interesting thing as you behold the Lord, obviously, that, you know, that becomes more than just a title of a message, but you begin, you know, the more and more that you behold the Lord, the more that you see, you know, the fact that the Lord Jesus has no need that anybody would teach him. You know, that the fact that God knows all things, right? That God knows all things, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has no need that anyone would teach him, but that everything that the Father knows, he knows, right? I know that there were things when Jesus walked this earth in a physical body, there were things that he did not know, and he was growing, obviously, and we know that from even as he was growing up from a child, he was growing in wisdom and he was growing in stature. So it's not like Jesus was born and he was born with knowing everything, right? So he was growing in wisdom. But it's really good to see, you know, as you behold the Lord right now. And I was just, in just thinking about these things, I was just talking to the Lord and I said, Lord, you know what, you know everything. And I think to a lot of people, that is just a given. Oh, of course God knows everything. No, but it's good when, as the Lord is teaching you, like, who he is and what he has, for the Lord to tell you, you know what, like, I know everything, and I have no need that anyone teach me. And that's really where, you know, for the last several days, I've just been thinking about that on and off, how he has no need that any man would teach him. And even though, unfortunately for the church, we would acknowledge that, and we would say about him that, of course, he has no need that anybody would teach him. Like, who is there that can judge God or just know him, right? You know, in scripture it says that eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of a man, into the heart of natural man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So of course, there is no way for a natural man to know God, right? There's no way for a natural man to know God. Neither can any man judge God correctly, right? That any man would be able to discern the thoughts of God, that any man would be able to understand God or understand his thoughts. But it's cool, and we see it even in Isaiah, how he says, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts and his ways. So it's clear that that natural man cannot know God. And as we say, like we just said before, that the Lord has no need that any man would teach him. That he knows all things, that the Lord Jesus has no need that any man would teach him, but that he knows all things. And as you behold that truth of the Lord, and you behold that truth as in a mirror, do you see how easy it becomes to be able to say that truth about yourself, right? Not looking at yourself and saying, you know, because I think it even feels a little strange, right? When you're just looking at yourself, as though you were a natural man, right? Because of the things that you could see with your eyes, and you would say, yeah, I know everything, and no one can know me. But in reality, both of those things that we just said there are actually true about us, right? Because if you behold the Lord, like he says, to behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, and you say, Lord, you know what? You know all things. You know all things, and you have no need, Lord, that any man would teach you. That seems so right, right? The Lord Jesus Christ has no need that any man would ever teach him. Like, that would seem appalling that anyone would ever think that the Lord Jesus would be standing next to him. And obviously, he lives in us, but skipping that for a second, that he would be here standing next to me, and that any person, any individual in the entirety of the church would ever think that he has to be taught something of you, that he has to be taught something of men. But the cool thing of that is that's exactly what he teaches us, right? That the reason why we have no need that any man would teach us is because he has no need that any man would teach him. It's not because we inherently know, and actually inherently I think comes from inheritance, and that actually would be true of us, but it's not because us without the Lord have no need that any man would teach us, like nobody can teach us anything. It's that in Christ, you know, it's the same thing as saying that God has lack, or that you would behold Jesus and you would see that he has a need, that he has a lack or some kind of a need that someone would need to meet for him or in him. It's the exact same way as it is in us, right? Because he lives inside of us, because if Christ be in us, right? And we were talking about these in quite in depth, you know, during the Friday services, but if Christ be in you, if Christ be in you, then we have no need. If Christ be in us, then we have no lack, right? So when you behold the Lord again, going back to what we first were saying, and you say, Lord, you have no need that any man would teach you, exactly, right? Jesus has no need that any man would ever teach him. So therefore, because we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, and it is kind of cool, you know, when you talk about the Spirit of God and the mind of Christ, right? When you talk about the Spirit of Christ and the mind of Christ, like sometimes we think that, like you have the mind of Christ, like, I don't know what people think, sort of like you have this brain somewhere or this matter within you called mind, right? Like you have your brain and you have somehow a second brain, right? Or that somehow the brain of God gets in your brain. But obviously, you know, that those terms are being used interchangeably there. I think it's in 1 Corinthians. I'll find that for you. But it's what he's saying there is that we have the Spirit of God that knows all things. So therefore, because we have the Spirit of God, we have the mind of Christ, right? Because we have him, we have his mind. Because we have him, we have the thoughts of God. That's another thing that would seem to some people even seems like just almost appalling or sacrilegious, if that's even a right term to say, right? That we have the thoughts of God, that the thoughts of God are our thoughts. It almost seems too high, right? That someone with a physical body could have the thoughts of God. But why is that true? So look at the Lord Jesus, right? And say, does the Lord Jesus Christ have the thoughts of God? Of course he does, right? The thoughts of God are the thoughts of Christ, and the thoughts of Christ are the thoughts of God, right? Like they are one, and Jesus has the thoughts of God, knows all the things of the Father, right? The Son knows all the things of the Father. So because the Son knows all the things of the Father, then anyone that is made like unto the Son, that has the Spirit of the Son in him, knows all of the things then of the Father, right? So the question always is, and we definitely touched on this several times during the Friday service, and I'm sure many other times before, the question is not, do you think or do you feel, let's just say like that, do you feel that you know everything? The question is, does Christ know everything? And therefore, then you by connection or by inheritance, then you know all things as well, because he knows all things. But then people argue with that and they say, I don't feel like I know all things, right? Well, you may not feel like you know all things, and you know, you may not see things that you do that like they're done in the wisdom of someone who knows all things. But again, that's why today is the day to partake of the fullness that we have. You know, that's what we're called. The church is called the fullness of Christ, right? That we have received the fullness of Christ. You know, that we have received, let me put it to you this way. This is how the Lord was teaching me this, which is cool, that He was teaching me that everything that we have in us, just a way to look at it, to speak of it correctly, everything that you have in you is mature, right? Everything that you have in you, and I think we kind of get the word complete, but everything that you have in you, in Christ, is mature and complete. So there's nothing in you that you have been given as an inheritance that is progressing or maturing on the inside of you, right? We're the ones that are having a mind that is renewed to what we have on the inside of us, but everything we have in us is full. Everything that we have in us is complete. Everything that we have in us is just as he is, right? Everything that we have on the inside of us, which is the Spirit of Christ on the inside of us, because he is complete, then so are we. Because he has no need, then neither do we. Because he has no lack, then so we have no lack, right? So it's really good to see, Lord, like everything I have in me, everything you've given me as an inheritance by your Spirit, right? Who is our inheritance, right? He is our inheritance, that everything we have in him is already full and mature and complete, and he knows all things. So because he knows all things, then what we are partaking of is that which is already full and perfect, right? That which is already full and perfect. So there is definitely a huge difference. There's definitely a huge difference between what you possess, right? And what you know of what you possess, right? But so there is a difference. What you have and what is already yours, and scripture even talks about it, all things are yours. All things are everything, all things are yours, and all things are yours or are for you. Now how could we say that all things are ours and for us? Because everything is his and everything is for him. Everything was be created by him and for him, right? So because he dwells on the inside of us, then that passes unto us. That's part of what we have become joint heirs with, right? That because it is his, it is ours. Because it is for him, it is for us, right? Because it is for him, it is for us. You know, another cool thing, just along these same lines, and actually let me just bring you, I told you I was going to find that verse for you, so let me bring you there. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse number 9. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. It says, "For as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." You know, and just that alone, if you know, if you're an individual that you don't really know, like you're learning right now, like kind of like what your inheritance is in Christ, here's a taste of that inheritance, that human eye or natural man has not seen and cannot see, neither has natural man ever heard, in other words, hearing to know, right, or could ever hear to know, neither has it ever entered into the heart of a natural man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. In other words, the things that God has already made ready, you know, that kind of goes, it's funny, like when I just said that, like made ready, I heard like a little ding, like a little bell when something is ready, right? Like you put a little cooking timer and everything's ready. Boom, it's done. It's ready to eat, right? It's ready to partake of. It's so cool that that's what we've been giving. The things that God has already made ready, complete, mature, and put on the inside of us, right? These are the things that he's already prepared. These are the things that the Lord Jesus went to the cross to make available for us, right? That the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the death of Christ, was in order to implement those things for us, to make it ready for us, right? That's why he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." He made these things, he made them ready, and everything that is on the inside of us is mature, everything is full, everything is to its full extent, right? It's cool to know that even when the return of Christ comes, right, we will receive fully, right, outwardly. In other words, we will, and let me say it like this, we will manifest fully the fullness that's on it, that's already on the inside of us. We will manifest fully of the fullness that's in us, but don't think, and you've heard this before, the second coming of Christ, nothing is ever written and neither has it been taught by the Lord, by God to us, that he's going to give us something else, that he's going to give us something extra, right? Everything we have already is perfect, right? Right? We have already received everything that is good and perfect. Everything that is good and perfect has already been given to us. So he says, which God has prepared, he says, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them. What has he revealed? The things that he has already made ready, the maturity of what he's put on the inside of us. He reveals those things to us by his Spirit. He says, because it is the Spirit that searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, right? All of the things of God. For the things of a man, no man knows except the Spirit that is in a man. And then he says, by the exact same way, he said, for what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him, the spirit of a man which is in him, even so the things of God no man knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received this as not the Spirit that is of the world, but the Spirit that is of God. Why? So that we might know the things that He has prepared and put on the inside of us, so that we would know the things that He has made ready. You see how cool that is? Listen to that. Listen to that. If you're a person that thinks about everything is about that day to come, right? He said, I've given you my Spirit. If the church believes that they have the Spirit of God, watch why we have the Spirit of God. I've given you my Spirit so that you would know everything that I have fully prepared and made ready and put on the inside of you, right? Everything that I have fully prepared and made ready and put on the inside of you. It says, which things, in verse number 13, he says, which things we also speak. Some of the things that people disagree, right, with Reformed Church that we teach are the very things that the apostle wrote, right, that God wrote and penned so that we can understand. He says, these are the very things that we speak. What are the very things that we speak? The things that God has already been made ready and put on the inside of us, the perfection of all that He has freely given us through the price that He paid on the cross. It says, which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. I mean, like what have we been saying, right? He said it himself. These are the very things he's speaking here, right? Speaking here to the Corinthian church. And he says, these are the things, he says, I'm telling you, these are the things that I'm telling you. These are the things that I'm speaking to you. And the things that I'm speaking to you, he says, right now, talking to the Corinthian church, these things, man's wisdom didn't teach me. I have no need that any man teach me, because I already have the Spirit of God on the inside of me. So these are things that the Spirit of God has taught me. So obviously he wasn't throwing down notes from heaven, right? He was saying, these are the things that I have received, that I have been freely given, and the things that I have been freely given are the things that I'm speaking to you today, of the things that I have been freely given, right? It's so clear, so clear, so clear. People would argue with that when they hear us say, you know, that the Bible is not, right? You're not taught by reading, you're taught by the Spirit of God. You have a teacher on the inside of you. For us to understand that we have a teacher, that the teacher on the inside of us is the one that teaches, even if you've never seen a Bible, even if you have never had a Bible in your hand, even if you were out in the middle of nowhere, right? That you have a teacher that can teach you. And we've used these examples before, but Abraham didn't have anyone to come alongside and be his tutor or his mentor. Abraham didn't have a bunch of scrolls that he could carry around with him. But how did he become the father of faith? How did he rejoice to see the day of Jesus Christ that was thousands of years ahead of him? How did he? And I'm saying thousands of years. I think it is. I don't remember exactly. I'm not looking at dates between Abraham and Jesus. But it's just, how did he know all of the things? How was he able to know things that John the apostle saw and wrote in the book of Revelations? Like, how could he see a city whose builder and maker is God? Like, how could he know all of these things, lacking all of the tools that we lack? Like, he didn't have a lexicon. He didn't have a Hebrew and Greek dictionary. He didn't have, you know, an iPad. He didn't have a Strong's Concordance. Like, how did he know all these things? He didn't have a King James Bible. He didn't have a New International Version. He didn't have a New King James Version. He didn't even have scripture in his hand. How could he know all of these things? Because the same teacher that he had is the same teacher that we have. The exact same teacher. And the one thing he was not doing on a regular basis, obviously he would not know these things. So I confidently say that Abraham did not on a regular basis lean to his own understanding. Because and you can see times in the things that are written that he did lean on his own understanding and he had questions from God. But Abraham, you can clearly see that he is a man that was taught. And what are we? We are men that are taught, right? We are people that used to be natural, and now, unlike Abraham was, now we are spiritual people. And what's the difference between natural and spiritual? Natural men cannot know for themselves. Spiritual men know all things. No, we know all things. Natural men do not know all things, right? Cannot understand God, cannot know God. Spiritual men can know all things. And I'll show you that in a second. We can keep reading here. Verse number 13 says, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And it's interesting that he says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What he's saying there is spiritual things cannot be spoken nor understood except by the Spirit of God, right? So that's the only way that it can happen. That's the only way that it can happen. And when you think about that, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but in line of what we've always been teaching, right, how we have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and how the Spirit of God, he does the work and he speaks. But by the same token, you hear that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you just take that verse by itself, that of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, it almost kind of sounds like all that you have to do is put a bunch of information in your mind, and you put all that information in your mind, that it's just going to come out of your mouth just in conversation, right? But that it's not really the Spirit of God. It's just that you put a bunch of stuff up there. Just read Scripture till you can't read no more every single day, and Scripture will just come out of your mouth. But that's not what that means, right? Out of the abundance of what you have on the inside of you, right? Speaking about being taught by the Spirit of God, or holy men of God, like we were talking about, that through which God speaks through, the words of God, right? The oracles of God. So the only, when we talk about renewing the mind of a believer, it's two things that are working in you, right? When the mind of a believer is renewed, there are two things working in you, one person working in you, but doing two things. What is in your heart then, right? What is in your heart is the will and the power to bring it to pass, right? The will and the power of God. So a mind that is renewed is a mind that no longer thinks naturally anymore, but thinks, right, thinks the thoughts of God. And the thoughts of God, if you think about it, the thoughts of God are the will and the power of God also. Behind every thought of God is the power of God to bring that to pass, the power of God to speak that, the power of God to do that, right? The Lord doesn't renew our mind to information and then tells us, okay, carry it out, right? When the mind of a believer is renewed, the renewing of that mind that has happened, right? That's why it transforms. It says that the renewing of the mind transforms our physical body. Why? Because obviously, it's not us that can do that. You don't put a bunch of scripture in your mind and all of a sudden your body begins to just be transformed because you have all of this new information, right? So the renewal of the mind is not just new information. The renewal of the mind is the thoughts of God are the thoughts that we have in those areas of our life, right? So our mind has been renewed to the mind of God, and with the mind of God, with the thoughts of God, I should say more accurately, right? With the thoughts of God come the will, right? And the power of God, right? So we have then in those areas in our life, it's the working, the ease of the working of the Spirit of God in areas in our mind, in our minds, where our minds is where our mind is renewed. So he says here, and what brought kind of that to the forefront of my mind there was that it says, let's read verse 13 again, which things also we speak, not words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So he's not just saying, these are things that the Spirit of God taught me, so now I'm just teaching you. Kind of like I'm passing along a message, right? He told me and now I tell you. This is not a game of telephone, right? That the Spirit of God tells us and then we tell you, right? But what he's saying there is, he says, these are things that are spoken by the Spirit of God. The same way Jesus said, these are not words that I speak, but they're words that the Spirit of God speaks, right? It's not I that do the work, but it's the Spirit of God that does the work. When Paul said, he said, but I labored more abundantly than you all, but not I, but the grace of God within me. So what he's talking about is that as our mind is renewed, and obviously there are things that the Spirit of God can do that can just be works of power that are not even, that are beyond even your understanding. And I think Pastor Mike was mentioning that even last service. But the things that he's talking about here are things that he knows that he's been taught, that his mind has been renewed to, right? And he says, which things also we speak. So that's the manifestation, right? And the power by which that's being spoken is by the Spirit of God. Not words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It says, but the natural man, meaning he's not and we are not, but the natural man whom he is not and we are also not, But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why can a natural man not receive the things of the Spirit of God? Because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. He doesn't have the maturity, the perfection of the Spirit of God from which to partake and receive from, right? So because he can't do that, obviously, because he has not the Spirit of God, then obviously he is a natural man and cannot receive those things, right? But so what does a natural man receive? The things of the Spirit of a natural man, right? The Spirit of a natural man that knows the things of a natural man, that knows natural things. The Spirit of a natural man knows natural things. The Spirit of a believer, right? We having the Spirit of God on the inside of us that knows all of those things of God. That's the point that he's making here. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. So it's impossible, right? It's impossible for a natural man to know the things of God. He says, why? Because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. It says, but he that is spiritual, which he is and we are, he who is spiritual. Why are we spiritual? Because so is Christ. So as Christ is, so are we. He is spiritual, so are we spiritual, right? He is not natural, so therefore we are not natural, right? So I'm not identifying with the fact that I am not natural because Paul said that I'm not natural. I know that I'm not natural because he is not. So therefore, I agree with what's written, right? I agree with what is written and know that it's right and know where that's coming from because I am not natural because he is not natural, right? But he that is spiritual judges, and the cool thing about that word judges there and the word spiritually discerned is the exact same word. If you actually read that in a literal translation, like Young's Literal, it says, but he that is spiritual discerns all things, right? Knows all things, right? He that is spiritual knows all things. Things are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually known because they are revealed by the Spirit of God. Therefore, we can discern all things. We can know all things because we have on the inside of us the one that reveals all things, right? All things. We have the knower, the revealer, the one who knows perfectly lives on the inside of us and is one with us. Thank God for that. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man, right? Like, so how is it that I can say no one can know me? A natural man cannot know me. Can't know me. A natural man can't know me, can't understand me, and the things that I speak to natural man are going to be foolishness to them. Foolishness, like in other words, that they'll laugh at you. Foolishness, like they'll think that there's something wrong with you, right? Foolishness, like it won't compute with their natural mind. Why? Because it's the same way that he is, right? It's the same way that he is. Can anyone know, can a natural man know Jesus Christ? Can a natural man know the things of God? We just read, no, they can't. A natural man cannot know God. A natural man cannot see who Jesus is, right? Cannot know. When the apostles knew Christ as he walked, most of them saw him, if not all of them, saw him natural. They considered him a man like they were, but a great teacher, a man with great wisdom, but did not see him as he is today. Did not see him as he is today. But then they said after all of these had transpired, after the cross, right, they said, you know, we used to consider him and look at him or discern him just naturally, right? But now, he says, now we don't discern him any longer. So something happened on the inside of them, right? It wasn't just that something happened to him. Something happened on the inside of them that they could go from being men that were not saved, right? Men that were natural men that saw things very naturally, right? That doubted like natural men doubted and have doubts and confusions and believe many things that are told them are confusing and foolish when it comes to the things of the Spirit of God. Something happened in them that they said, now we don't consider Jesus any longer. So it wasn't that they saw the ascension and that changed their mind. It wasn't that they read something and that changed their mind. It wasn't that they talked to Paul and Paul changed their mind. It's that something happened on the inside of them in the receiving of the Spirit of God that day of Pentecost, right? The receiving of the Spirit of God where they received that fullness, that maturity of the knowledge of God on the inside of them. And then they began to see, you know what, now we don't see him any longer. Because what are they doing now? They're beholding the glory of the Lord as in a mirror for them. They're beholding the glory of Jesus Christ, and as he is, they're seeing that so are they, right? They're seeing that so are they as he is. So he says, again, verse number 15, but he that is spiritual judges, discerns all things, knows all things, yet he himself is known of no man, judged by no man, discerned of no man. No man can know him, no man can know you. It's really actually that simple. When we try to, sometimes we try to be very compatible with people in order to be able to show them that we're very much alike, right? But that's not the way it is, right? You don't speak to people about the gospel trying to show them that you're very much alike, because you're actually nothing alike, right? You're nothing alike, and there's a huge change that has happened, right? You have been made a new creation, in which case they have not. If a person is not saved, they have not been made new, and we have already received that newness on the inside of us. There is a huge difference. We may look alike, but that doesn't mean we are alike, right? So that's the wrong way to go about it. We don't preach the gospel by trying to show people that we are very much alike. We try to show people, right? We teach them the gospel, showing them the reconciliation, like what God has already accomplished for them, right? So they can have the same things that we have. You know, it's interesting that the Lord even says that when he brought the gospel to the Gentiles, right, it was to arouse jealousy even among his people, the Jews, right? So jealousy is not aroused by a nation when they see the gospel going to the Gentiles, by the Gentiles try to pretend that there are just men just like the Jews, that they have problems just like the Jews and everything is just like the Jews, right? That's not how people see the truth, right? When a person when they can see and hear the things that are of God, right, that will capture the eye of an unbeliever to be able to begin to listen, to know these are just not natural things that are being spoken to me, but these are things that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that this man or this woman is speaking to me about. This is something that God has accomplished for me, right? Not us trying to be natural when we're not, right? Not us trying to be natural when we are not natural, right? Pretending does not get people to accept what Jesus has done for them. In 15 again, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known? Watch, and this is good because this is where we started. But verse number 16 says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who has known the thoughts of God, right? What man has known the thoughts of God? What natural man has known the thoughts of God that a man could see some lack in the thoughts of God, or some error in the thoughts of God, or some shortcoming in the thoughts of God, that a man would correct the thinking of God? Right, because when men think that something is foolish, in other words, they believe that your thinking needs correcting, right? When a man thinks that what you think is foolish, he's thinking, I know something you don't know, right? So when the gospel is foolishness unto men of this world, they're thinking, you know what, there's something wrong with your thinking. So the truth of what we have is that there is no man that can discern and can know God, right? So therefore, we don't judge the things that we know and the things that we have by the popularity of it within the world, or people that think according to the world, right? But people that think according to Christ, that's why he says the people that are with you will hear you. Right? The world will not hear you because they speak something else, because they know something else, because they see flaw in the things that you say, right? But the people that are with you hear the things of God. Why? Because the thinking then is according to Christ, right? The thinking is according to Christ. So as we speak the things that are of God, right? And we say, you know what? No one can instruct God. Like he knows everything. He knows everything there is to know. No one can ever instruct him. No one can teach him. Do you see how he says why it is that he says in the latter part of verse number 16, but we have the mind of Christ? We were just reading, right, from Hebrews, I think chapter 8, I think, or 9, 8, I think, right, verse number 11 maybe. And we were also reading from Jeremiah just in past services, right, that we have no need that any man teach you. That's so hard for people to understand. Like, I'm not exactly sure what that means. I don't really know if that means that I should attend church or not attend church. The Lord Jesus Christ established the church. The Lord Jesus Christ established pastors and teachers. He established us this way, right? So obviously, he wants that to occur. He wants what's happening right now, this sharing that's happening, to occur, because he established it that way. He is the head over all things to the church. He does everything and has done everything for the benefit of the church. Every word that is spoken by a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist should be for the benefit of the body of Christ, right? So he established it that way. But it's interesting to be able to see that when we say that we have no need that any man teach you, it seems confusing. But it's confusing because we don't see him. Because he has no need that any man teach him. So if he has no need that any man teach him, then we have no need that any man teach us. So what is the answer to church then? Well, you have the maturity of everything on the inside of you. And if we can stir you up to be able to understand what you have in you and get you to partake of what is on the inside of you, that is the will of God for you, right? That you would partake of what he's put on the inside of you. So if we can stir up your mind, right, to begin to partake of what you have on the inside of you, and your mind can continually be renewed, the Lord is bringing to pass what he desires for you and what he desires for us and what he desires for every born-again believer, every believer that has the Spirit of God on the inside of him, that we would what? That we would take of the perfection in us, that we would take of that maturity, that we would take of that all-knowing, right? That we would partake of that fullness that we have on the inside of us. So he says, you have the mind of Christ. After he told us all of this stuff about no man can know the spirit of a man except the spirit that is in him, and you have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God, and then he says, so you have the mind, right? Because you have what? You have the Spirit of God in you. He says, because you have in me, because I am in you, you have my mind, right? Because I am in you, you know all things. How do I know that? Because I know all things, he says, right? If you talk to God plainly about this, right, the Lord would tell you, I am in you and I know all things, therefore in you is knowing all things. So that's why the scripture can clearly say about you, you know all things. Lean on your own understanding and you won't believe that. Lean on your own understanding and it won't compute. Lean on your own understanding and it'll sound foolish to you even though you're born again. Leaning on your own understanding will make that sound foolish. Why? Because your understanding, not the Lord's understanding, not the knowledge of God by the Spirit of God, but the natural thoughts in your mind, right? You are no more a natural man, but you got plenty of natural thoughts in your mind. So lean on those natural thoughts and that won't make any sense. So you know how far we should take this? How far should we take what we have? How far should we take it? You know, far enough is Jesus Christ. That's far enough. And to think of yourself, as having something that he is not needed for is to think of yourself more highly than you should. Right? To think of having something apart from Christ that is valuable and prosperous, right, to you, That is thinking of yourself more highly than you should. Thinking of yourself too low is thinking of yourself not according to him. Thinking of yourself not according to Christ is not humility. That's thinking beneath who you are, right? Right? That's thinking beneath who you are. Thinking too highly of yourself is to think of yourself as anything apart from Christ. Thinking of yourself according to Christ is to be right on the mark. Right on the mark. That's as far. And it's not that it's too far. It's that there, in Christ, there is no such thing as too far or too close, right? It's just, that's the mark right there. That's him. That's the example. That is the, see, Christ is the exact representation of the Father. The exact representation of the Father. So we that have been made sons and children of God, right? We have been made in that exact representation, in that exact similitude, right? So it is not too far for it to be according to Christ. Why is it that anyone would ever think that it just seems in their mind so far-fetched that it would seem in their mind, you know where that comes from? Natural thinking. Natural thinking could never understand him. So the point is not that natural thinking can't understand who you are. Natural thinking can't get him. So because it can't get him, by connection and by confusion and by foolish thinking, and it can never get who we are. In other words, a born-again believer that has the Spirit of God, thinking of himself as like unto Christ, like unto his Father, right, would seem too far-fetched to some, right? But why is that? Because natural thinking can't get that. In other words, natural thinking left in the mind of a believer, unrenewed thinking we can call it, or natural thinking, can never understand these things, can never get them, can never discern them, because natural thinking has never seen and never heard and cannot know. So you could go to a church for 30 years, but if you still think naturally in accordance to certain things, you will never know those things while you are on this earth. You will never know these things as you are in this natural body. And we will suffer natural things, and we will, that's a good word right there. We will suffer needlessly. We will suffer needlessly from carnal thinking. We will suffer needlessly from natural thinking. But what happens to a man, though? What happens to us when we are no longer natural men? What happens to us when we are spiritual And then we begin to allow the Spirit of God to teach us, the Holy Ghost to teach us. It's exactly what he said. I'm not trying to be Pentecostal. I'm trying to be correct with the wording, right? Holy Ghost teaches me. Holy Ghost teaches me, right? I'm not trying to be woo. That's what we just read. Which things the Holy Ghost teaches me. So what happens when the Holy Ghost teaches you? Right? You begin to have a mind that begins to be renewed with what? The thoughts of God, and the will and power of God behind that, right? Right? Every thought of God is aligned with the power of God. There is nothing that God teaches that is absent of the power of God to perform it, right? Every thought of God is aligned with the power of God. So it's so good to see how these things, you know, as you begin to break them down and begin to concentrate on beholding the right thing, beholding the Lord Jesus Christ, beholding him, then all of a sudden things start becoming clear. When you say, I know all things, of course I do. He knows all things. So you know what? If it makes you comfortable at the beginning, don't worry about saying me. Just say him, right? Just behold him. Just behold him and you will learn who you are, right? Just continue, if it makes you uncomfortable, right? Because you're still thinking very naturally, oh, I know all things, I have all things, I have all abundance, everything is for me. Just begin to learn him. Just begin to see him and he'll fix that. That's the second, not the first, right? You learn Jesus and then you will see who you are, right? You behold the glory of the Lord and you will see your reflection, right? You will see that. But that seeing does not come from you. That seeing comes from him, right? He'll reveal that to you, right? He'll reveal that to you. Even Pastor Mike was using that example, which is a great example. John falling as dead before the feet of Jesus and Jesus just telling them, you behold me, right? When the Lord tells us, you come to me. He says, you search the scriptures, but you don't come to me, right? Reading will not do it, right? Reading does not tell you who you are, right? Right. I mean, the words are there. The words are there for you to know, but you can't know. Natural thinking cannot know that. But if you let the Holy Ghost teach you, the one who knows all things, right? The one, listen, here's another cool thing. All that is written, is that in Jesus? All that is written. Every wise word, every good thing written in all 66 books that we have right now of Scripture, every wise thing that has ever been spoken, every revelation of Christ, is it in him? Right? So when you hear the Lord say things like, we have a leather-bound Bible, a Bible that is bound in our skin as being the leather, right? In other words, it's a phrase for you to get, right? You have the Bible in you. You have Scriptures in you. Well, how do I have Scriptures in me? How do you not have Scripture in you? The one that wrote it lives in you. There has never been a time in Reformed Church that we have told people it is bad to read your Bible. You should not read your Bible. That would be idiotic to say, right? The Lord wrote that for our admonition. He wrote these things so that we can read them. He wrote them so that we can look at it, right? He wrote these things so that we can teach them. But then can we get a clue and understand that the one that wrote it lives in me? That the one that wrote it, the author of it lives on the inside of me. So am I really at a lack or at a disadvantage if I go away on vacation and forget my Bible and don't buy a new one? How am I at a disadvantage? I got the one that authored it on the inside of me. Are you ever at a disadvantage when you just begin to just quiet yourself and acknowledge God and allow him to bring things to your remembrance? No, what are you doing? You're being taught of the Holy Ghost, right? You're being taught of the Holy Ghost. The confusion that there is or with what we have and what we possess in Christ is just natural thinking in the mind of a believer that cannot understand and things that we say that sound foolish. How does that get corrected, right? Let the Holy Ghost teach you and you'll stop thinking natural in reference to these things. And what will happen is we will fall more and more in agreement, more and more in agreement. And we are still learning and you are still learning and we'll continue to grow and there'll be more and more agreement. Why? Because we'll be beholding the same author, the same one. We'll be looking at the same example of what we have. We'll be beholding the same individual. We'll be beholding the same Jesus, right? And the same Jesus will teach us, will give us the same revelation.
ReformInUs.com